Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. That is my little dog in the background barking at an Amazon delivery person. Yeah, right on time, just as the show is starting. Maggie, come on, that's okay. Oh, gosh. Good morning, everyone. This is an exciting day to be alive. Today is June 29, 2018, Friday. This is the Bible on Trial, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy day to join us, either live here on the Blog Talk Radio or via our MP3 downloads. I'm going to encourage you to open up your chat room and go there, because if you want to ask some questions, you can, or you can call in, and we appreciate anybody who wants to call in and chat with us for a little bit. I have all of our pertinent information that you need to be able to get a hold of us on our chat room. And I'm going to go ahead and remember this time to give you those just before we close out today. So let's have prayer and we will get started with our program. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, I ask in your blessed names to be here with us in spirit and in truth, to defend us against the evil ones who would seek to cause, at the very least, annoyances, if not actually shut us off and stop us from showing the way to the kingdom. I pray, Father, that you will keep the Blog Talk Radio site up and running for the entire program today. I pray, Father, that as we speak and as we listen, we will honor your names. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Suzette.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Don and Larry. Good morning. And, of course, hello over there to Rick.
Good morning and welcome to everyone. It's an honor to have you join us for study. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you a blessing as a result. I have been presenting in our discussion the key component of the gospel or good news of the kingdom. And the reason that I have focused on that lately is that we have the word of the Son of God. That it is the gospel of the kingdom that must be preached to the whole world before God can judge the world. And by judging the world, I don't mean start the judging process. I mean judge it as he did in the days of Noah, where he sent a flood as a judgment to destroy all the wicked. This key component of the gospel of the kingdom, which is also known by the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom are one and the same thing. Anything, any other gospel, any other teaching, any other who comes claiming to have information from God, from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ, who has received specially in secret. No one else was aware. And they are presenting information which goes beyond testimony of Jesus or contradicts the testimony of Jesus. It's a lie. It is a lie. Because we have God's word that the testimony of Jesus, also known as the gospel or the good news of the kingdom, is what will bring the world to its spiritual harvest time, also known as the judgment. So what I have been focusing on is trying to help us understand how we enter the kingdom of Elohim. Because only by entering the kingdom of Elohim will we be able to experience the promises that God has given to those who are in his kingdom. And will we be able to work for God in getting the world ready for the final harvest, for the judgment? Harvest is the spiritual term used for the literal judgment. We are flesh and blood, substantive beings. We are not spirits. But as flesh and blood beings, we can become spiritual. Just as John describes what the Word did. And the Word, we know, is the Son of Elohim, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And John tells us that the in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and lived among us. When the Word, capital W, is in us, we are made spiritual. As he did not give up his spiritual nature when he took on flesh and blood, we do not give up our flesh and blood nature so that we can become spiritual and enter the spiritual kingdom of Elohim. And I hope you understand that. I think that John is trying hard to describe something that is not easily understood until you allow yourself to see it. It's as difficult to understand as it is the parables until you understand what various terms mean spiritually. A parable is just a story that you can use and interpret as you see it. But when you understand what the words that are used in the parable mean in the spiritual realm, only then will you understand the true meaning of the parable. So when John starts his writing with "In the beginning was the Word." He could have said, "In the beginning was God." But he didn't. He said, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, the Word is spiritual. A word can only be spiritual. A word cannot be literal. God spoke the Word and created the physical world, but it still had its being in God's Word. God commanded, and it stood fast. So John says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Son of God came to this world, this physical, flesh and blood, tangible world, to deliver a word, and that word would save the world, because the world had been lost due to the rebellion of the angels who had taken this world for themselves through lies. And lies are words, but they are not words that are truthful. They are words that have no substance. They are not true. And lies produce a spiritual darkness, because the words themselves that are lies are darkness. The word of truth is light. And truth exposes lies. Therefore, the light exposes the darkness. In fact, light dispels darkness. And that is the key component of sanctification, consecration. If darkness dwells in your intellect, because it contains lies, the truth that is the spiritual light that goes into your intellect will dispel the darkness which is in residence there. When the spiritual darkness has been completely driven out of your intellect so that only light dwells there, then you have completed the sanctification process and you are in the kingdom of Elohim. Now, that is how simply it is stated. And the only difficulty that we have is allowing it to happen. We must first acknowledge that what is in our intellect is not true. It is full of lies. That's the hardest part, is acknowledging that all your life you've been lied to, and the lies are in residence in your intellect.
Rick,
now,
why is that so hard for people to do?
It's a good question.
And
ego is a major problem.
Well, yes, Don, ego is a major problem. But what hit me as I was listening to you do that last about a minute of the presentation, there is an institutional hubris, institutional arrogance to belief that says, if I am a member of this church or if I am a member of that church, then what I believe must be true because God would not allow the church to present something that was a lie. And we see this in virtually every denominational structured entity that makes a claim to follow Jesus. So, Rick, what is it about following Jesus that is so hard to do?
Well, what has happened, I believe, I mean, I know this has happened, this is what I believe is so hard to do, is that it is hard to change that which we have been brought up with. And the devil knows this. So he has focused on the producing in this world the condition which he has successfully produced. Mm-hmm. And that is everything about this world in regards to God and religion and theology and all of those related topics, spirituality and so on, he has controlled to the extent that there is no truth in anyone's intellect. All intellects of every single flesh and blood being and all the fallen spiritual beings who rule this kingdom are full of darkness, spiritual darkness, which is lies. It is not a darkness of the world that because the sun is not shining, not the same kind of darkness that you get at night when the sun is on the opposite side of the earth. This is a darkness that is pitch black darkness. And if you've been told all your life that you have the light, that what your mother and your father and your grandmother and grandfather and all of your line and all of your family and all your community and all those who believe and practice as you do is truth, then what you believe that you have in your intellect is light. And you see, here is the issue. In the real world, all you have to do is open your eyes and see the light of this world. Well, that's your physical component. The sun is physical. The earth is physical. The atmosphere, although it's air, it's physical. You can see how the light exposes the molecules in the atmosphere so that you can, it gives it kind of a blue hue. And as the son of Elohim told Nicodemus, the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. But you can feel it when it passes. That's the sense. So you can't see the air, but you can feel the air when the breeze is blowing on you. The Son of God knew about this problem that humanity has with their spiritual component. Within our bodies, we have a place which is where everything that we have experienced, we've read, we've heard, goes. It's not a gland. It's not a like the stomach has a space, the intestines have a space. It's not a space where this goes. It is actually maintained by the physiological processes taking place in the brain. It is not the brain, because the brain is substantive. But what the brain does is it supports, it allows the processes to take place within it that will operate the body and the mind.
Called biochemistry.
Now, what is the mind?
I think in terms of puns a lot, but there are certain puns that actually teach a lesson. And here is the pun that goes along with what you are asking, Rick. What do you call gold that is still in the ground? Never mind. Never mind.
Okay.
You see, we are searching for gold. But if you are not willing to dig and get dirty, you will never find it.
There's... The initial teaching that we have recorded is in Matthew. Matthew and John go so well together that obviously they must have been associates.
They learned from the same teacher.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Very short little phrase, very profound in its teaching. The lamp. What does a lamp do? Now, the lamp, of course, must be lit, right?
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't do any good.
The lamp must be lit. The lamp of the body. What is the body? Is the body spiritual?
It's physical.
What I could
say, physiological.
What I could say is there is an article of furniture in the sanctuary that exemplifies this, and it is called the lampstand. Now, the lampstand, of course, was hammered out of one piece of gold.
Wow.
It was not made in pieces and joined together. It was hammered out of one piece. And when it was finished, it was placed on the south wall of the sanctuary, directly across from the table of the presence. Now, what the priest needed to do was pour oil into the lampstand. And there were wicks. The wicks would wick the oil up, and then the oil in the wicks would be lit, and the lamp would burn and give light. In fact, there were cups made behind each wick bowl, and it was constructed so that all the light that the lampstand produced would be focused on the table of the presence. Mm-hmm. A very interesting, very profound, very descriptive telling, because the lampstand represents the spiritual kingdom. It's a physical body, which is the lampstand itself. The oil, which is the spiritual component, and the light, which is the Holy Spirit, the truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. So the lamp of the body is the eye. Now notice it doesn't say are the eyes. because the eyes are not the lamp. The eyes allow the light or the darkness access to what? The intellect, which is in the mind. The intellect is in the mind. So what you read and what you hear has to go somewhere. Your eyes do not support the light. Your eyes are a pathway. In other words, eyes to see allow either light or darkness in. It's where that light or darkness goes that is the eye of the body. Do you follow that? So the body supports either light or darkness. Wherever the light or the darkness is in the body is the eye that he's talking about here. Now, the devil knows about these things, and he knows what will come up, and he always wants to have something already in place for thousands of years so that someone can say, oh, you're talking about that. That doesn't exist. That's in that spiritualism. You're getting off into spiritualism. What is spiritualism? Do you know what spiritualism is?
I know what the definition we have been taught is, and that is believing that there are beings, that ghosts and demons and all of that other things, and then worshiping those demons.
Spiritualism is worshiping spirits.
Right.
Is God a spirit?
Yes.
Do you worship God?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
So you worship a spirit, right?
Right.
What is important is the spirit that you are worshiping. Is it a evil spirit or is it a righteous spirit?
The difference.
Yes. The eye of the body is the intellect. Some would say it is the third eye. Well, there you go. Now you're talking about all these mystical religions when you start talking about the third eye. So would you then say that because the spiritualists, and believe me, there are any number of spiritual religions, although they're all kind of sort of tied into one another because they have similar fundamental components such as Kabbalah and the Tree of Life, and the New Age has this, and the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Wiccans, and I mean, you know, any of the spiritual practitioners will tell you about the third eye. So because they believe that there is a third eye, the third eye must not exist, because they believe it exists. And no one can see a third eye. In other words, you have to be able to see it to believe it.
Didn't Jesus say something about that in John 17?
What he's saying here, what is what we must dig deeper than just the surface. He says the lamp of the body is the eye. And what is the body? Body is flesh and blood. Substance, your tissues. The connection of cells that form tissues. That's the body. Does the body need a lamp? Do you need to see inside your body? And would the lamp of the body allow you to see at night? No. So the lamp, or you could say the light of the body. But see, he doesn't say the light for one reason. A lamp can either be lit or it can be
not.
One or the other.
And if you tried to see in a cave with a flashlight that you refused to turn on, and you believe that this flashlight is going to allow you to see in the cave, if you believe enough, if you believe hard enough, all you need is the flashlight. You don't need to turn it on.
You know, I just had this thought, having taught physical science in my career. It's kind of like a person who has an infrared flashlight and are praying to God that he will make it possible for their eyes to see infrared so that they can move forward into this dark place. You see, we work with what we have. Human eye cannot see infrared. It will, and until maybe when we get to heaven, we'll be able to do that. I don't know. But if you are in a cave and you have the wrong kind of flashlight, for instance, a black light flashlight, you can turn it on, but you're still not going to see anything. And then the other thing, Rick, is what about batteries?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can have batteries. But if you refuse to flip the switch, the batteries are not going to do you any good.
Right.
And what I'm getting at is we have the batteries, which is the truth, the testimony of Jesus. But if we refuse to flip the switch because we say we already can see, we already have the light, we don't need a flashlight, then you won't flip the switch. But this is what he's saying here. Mm-hmm. The lamp of the body. How does a body enter a spiritual kingdom? How does the body exist in a spiritual kingdom? How does a spirit exist in a world with flesh and blood bodies? The spirit must become flesh and blood. What must we become? Spirit. Spiritual. So what we need to do is we need to find a way of existing in a realm that we cannot go to physically. And that's where this is important. We already exist in a spiritual kingdom. We are born. When we exit our mother's womb, we are born into the physical realm, the physical world, but we are also born into a spiritual kingdom. And how is that? Is how we think. So what we are taught and what goes into our intellect brings us into a spiritual kingdom. But it is the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world is a spiritual kingdom, which we live in our eye, our intellect. How do we leave the kingdom of the world? We cannot get into a spaceship and take off for Mars or for Alpha Centauri, Alturas, or any other place. We cannot get into a space vehicle and leave the Earth in order to leave the kingdom of the world. Now, physically, we live in nations. We live in nations which are ruled by governing bodies. What do they tell us? Tell us what we must do while we are living in these geographical areas. In the spiritual realm, we have pastors, preachers, priests, ministers, theologians, evangelists, theologists, rabbis. They don't tell us what we must do to live in the countries in which we live. They tell us what we must do to live in the country, if you will, the kingdom of God or gods. And they teach us what they say we must know and follow to make the gods happy and accept us, and so that we don't upset the gods. Now, what the Christians have done is they have taken the rules and said that they will determine which rules work best for them, but it may not be the same rules that work best for other Christians, but for them it works. And that's all that their God requires.
By the way, that is a concept that is very reminiscent of Eastern mysticism. Your path and my path are different, but we're all going to the same place. That's our goal, is to get to the same place on different roads.
There's one thing that the ruler of the kingdom of the world requires: that whatever is taught is not the truth. It might be close to the truth. It might be akin to the truth. It might seem like it's the truth. And that's fine. But it must not be the truth. And so he has managed to deceive the whole world with his lies.
That's only part of the world.
The whole world. Was it Matthew 29?
Right.
Deceived the whole world.
Yeah.
And what most people don't believe is that he's deceived the whole world except the church I follow.
Yeah.
My church has not been deceived, but all the others have been.
Right. That's what we started with.
Yeah.
The lamp of the body is the eye. You could say the heart, the intellect, but the eye is important here because the I is the consciousness awareness, the mind. It follows that if your I is sound, and what that word means is healthy, your whole body will be filled with light. Now, anyone who knows what the inside of the physical body looks like, and I do because I've seen bronchoscopies and I've seen EGDs, which is and esophagogastroduodenoscopy.
And four heart stents on somebody sitting across from you.
Well, yeah, I didn't, though, see actually into your heart. But what I'm saying is if you put a scope, an orifice of your body, and I mean, what's very, very easy, everyone has had a physical examination. And they know that the doctor gets a, for all intents and purposes, a flashlight with an end on it that allows them to see in your eye. They take this thing and they look in your eye, and what does it have in it? A light bulb, and it's on, right? And they take they have an otoscope, which they stick in your ear, and they have a light bulb on that so they can see in your ear. And a colonoscopy, the fiber optic
periscope,
yes. And in other words, the body is not full of light. You need a light in order to see in the body. So he's not talking about a physical light in the body. He has to be talking about a spiritual light. And the spiritual light source is the intellect. Now, if what you have received through your eyes and your ears that has gone to the eye of the body, the spiritual part, if it is the truth, it is light, and your whole body is full of light. But if it lies, it's darkness. So darkness has been going through your eyes and through your ears, and it has gone into the light of the body, which is the intellect. And what is in your intellect is what is in your spiritual being. And if darkness is in your intellect, your whole spiritual nature is darkness. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have convinced yourself, or if you are certain there is no darkness in your body, then how is light? Because you start out in darkness. Everyone's body is full of dark. The light came from heaven, the true light, the word. We read John chapter 1. Read it again. He's talking about light and darkness, and he's not talking about this physical world where we can see the sun lighting our part of the world, or the darkness when the sun is on the other side of the earth. He's talking about the spiritual realm and the spiritual component of our bodies. And we all start out in darkness. We all, every single one of us start out in darkness. The only one that did not start out in darkness were the initial creation before the devil deceived the world, the man and the woman who were placed in the garden, and the son of Elohim who came here to this earth that was full of darkness. Even Abraham was born into darkness, but he listened to God and he believed God, and his body filled with the spiritual light of God. So the light came into the darkness. The word came into the lies, where the lies dwelt. When you understand the spiritual information, when you understand the spiritual information, and the spiritual information is truth, it goes into the eye of your body. It follows that if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be filled with light. That has to be speaking spiritually. And of course, we do know that light also has two properties. It has wave properties, which would be akin to the spiritual, and it has it's made up of photons, which would be the physical or the substantive part. So light is both spiritual and physical. If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. If your eye is diseased, your whole body will be all darkness. If then the light inside you is darkness, what darkness that will be. And what he is definitely explaining here is, if you are convinced that you are full of light, when in fact you are full of darkness, then the darkness has made it impossible for the light to be recognized as light. And that it is, he came to speak the words of truth, the light, to replace the darkness that is in our intellect. The truth must push the darkness out. But if the darkness says that the truth is lies, it will not, that will block that. And you say, but I would never do that. Well, that's what they all said back here. I mean, all the religious leaders were all condemning their forebears, their forefathers, for not recognizing the light, for killing the prophets and ridiculing them and imprisoning them and torturing them, and they would never do that. And of course, nobody today ever says that if I was alive back then, I would never have done any of those terrible things. I would never have said crucify him.
If I had been the partner of Eve, we'd be in Eden still.
Yeah, of course.
There are none so blind as those who refuse to see. That's mine.
Oh, is that yours?
Actually, that is.
And there are none so deaf as those who refuse to hear.
Right.
Now, there is one that said there are none so blind as those who cannot see. But this, I did not say cannot. I said will not. Who refuse to see. And that was the religious leaders at the time when the Son of God came here to this earth. They saw the miracles. They heard his teaching, and they knew that his teaching was sound, but it didn't agree with their teaching, and they saw their teaching as sound doctrine, even though it came from their fathers, whom they condemned for killing the prophets. And you would think that they could, you know, they would at least stop to consider, we're going to kill this guy, or we're plotting to kill this guy, basically for the same reasons that our forefathers killed the prophets. Why would our forefathers kill the prophets and we agree that they did wrong by killing the prophets, and we would never do that? There are none so blind as those who refuse to see. Oh, they'll say, we will never do what our forefathers did, while they're planning to do the same thing, and not even recognize that they're doing that. There are none so blind as those who refuse to see. There is a condition that happens to an individual when they are certain that they are totally in the right when they are completely in the wrong.
And they would never admit it.
In the time we have left, turn to John chapter 3. And we'll start with, I've started with this, so we'll just read over it really quickly and then we'll go down. John chapter 3, starting with verse 1. There is one of the Pharisees called Nicodemus, a leading Jew, who came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one could perform the signs that you do unless God were with him. Jesus answered, I tell you most solemnly, unless a man is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And understand that being born from above is the spiritual realm. Above is the spiritual realm. Below is the physical, tangible realm. Nicodemus said, how can a grown man be born? Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I tell you most solemnly, unless a man is born through water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, there is a very profound statement. Water and the Spirit, he cannot enter. So unless you're born of the Spirit, you cannot enter. Why? Because the kingdom of God is spiritual. And only when you're born of the Spirit can you enter the spiritual kingdom. You are not born into the kingdom of God when you exit your mother's womb. So if you say that you were, you are deceiving yourself. There are two births that you must participate in before you can enter the kingdom of God.
One's a choice.
And like I have said before, with John the Baptist, when the Son of God came to John the Baptist and said, baptize me. And he said, well, no, you should be baptizing me. The answer he got was, permit it now, so that all the demands of righteousness will be met. And then he did. Baptism is a demand of righteousness. When God took the Israelites out of Egypt, they passed through the water of the Red Sea. Now, they didn't get wet, and getting wet is not the important part. But passing through the water is. So if you know a way of being dunked in the water without the water touching you, well, okay, so be it. But right now, short of a miracle, when we pass through the water, we get wet. The second cleansing, the water cleansing is the first. The second cleansing is the cleansing of the spirit. So the water cleansing is a physical removal of corruption. And what that does is it prepares you for your spiritual cleansing. In the courtyard of the sanctuary, both cleansings are represented. There's the laver, which had water. There's the altar, which had fire. Now, what the priests would do is they would go to the laver and wash themselves before they put on the holy garments to go and officiate at the fire cleansing, which was the great altar where the sacrifices and the offerings were offered up in fire to God. Incidentally, the laver is a feminine symbol. The laver is a big, huge basin or a cauldron, if you will, and
receptacle.
It's a receptacle, but it's full of water. Mm-hmm. And the bronze for the laver came from the mirrors of the serving women who served the men constructing the tabernacle.
And remember, this was not glass mirrors. It was a bronze flat sheet. Polished brass.
And what does a mirror do?
Reflects an image.
Reflects the image of the one looking into it. And if it's a woman's mirror, what image is it?
A woman.
Feminine.
Yeah.
It's a feminine image. Mm-hmm. The laver, it represents the spirit, and the altar represents the spirit, but the altar was what the Son of God did when he was sacrificed. So we have the feminine symbol and we have the masculine symbol. And both of those work together to produce spiritual beings for the spiritual kingdom.
Thanks, Rick. I want to remind you of our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. You can go there and read the book, Spirit of the Church. You can also read a bunch of good writing by Rick Sterling, and we suggest that you do that. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a good day. We'll see you all tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus.